Last week I started speaking to you about a time in my life where the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about the fire and the anointing. A scripture that God spoke to me in that stage of my life is a scripture that goes something to this effect. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A lot of people want to do something for God. Most people that want to do something for God have no anointing to be able to do that. Why is that important? Because, you see, you can do a lot of things. You can come up with a lot of wonderful plans. You could come up with a lot of wonderful schemes to do this and to do that and what. But if you are doing it in the natural, if you are doing it in the flesh, if you are doing it out of yourself, it can never really be successful in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual place. And unless you have that spiritual component that enables you to do that and to do it effectively, it will not work. I'll give you an example. You can have the gift of the gab. I know a lot of people that have the gift of the gab. You have some people out there, they can sell snow to an Eskimo. You know, they can sell sand in the desert. They can sell ice on the North Pole. They've got this thing. And when they talk to people, people are like, oh wow. But I want to tell you something. You take a person like that. You give him the microphone. You give him the scriptures. And you tell him to preach a sermon. And he will not touch the heart of anybody. Because unless the anointing works with you, the sword of the Spirit will not cut between soul and spirit and touch the heart of the person. It is the anointing that causes the power of God to be released. Your words will change nobody, but the word of God will change people's lives irrevocably. And the way to move from your words to the word of God coming out of your mouth is when the Spirit of God anoints your words. The anointing is like, I don't want you to take this wrong, and don't you go out there and say, oh, you know, this pastor has lost his marbles because he's talking about rubbish in the church. But it's just a nice way to understand. Did any of you ever see Peter Pan? We actually have Peter Pan here today. Where are you? Mr. Lee. Mr. Peter Pan. Now, for those of you that saw the movie Peter Pan, I'm talking about the comic, the cartoon. There was this little fairy there, Tinkerbell. And she used to sprinkle fairy dust on them. And when she sprinkled fairy dust on them, it was like, they began to fly and they could do all these wonderful and amazing things. Now, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying in a similar way, when the Holy Spirit releases or sprinkles the anointing and the power of God upon us, it enables us to do things that we could normally not do. And that's when the power of God is made manifest. You can try and make it happen, but it will not happen until God releases it. Getting back to that scripture, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good. And he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. If you listen to how the wording in that scripture comes about, it first says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then it says he was anointed with power, which means there's two different things that we can receive from God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of power. And we need both of those things. And then we can go out and do good. In other words, move in the kingdom of God and begin to heal the sick. See signs, wonders, and miracles start take place. A lot of people just want these things. Let me tell you something. It's not a case of just wanting it. You have to receive the right thing. I believe everybody in this place would like to lay hands on some sick person and pray for them and see them get better. But if you're not anointed, it's not going to work. A lot of us would like to pray for somebody and see a miracle happen in their life. But I want to say something to you. If you're not anointed, it will not work. The anointing is very, 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 very precious. And God doesn't just give the anointing to anybody. Let me teach you something about the anointing. If God finds you faithful in the little things, God will give you the bigger things. There's a lot of people that put a demand on the anointing. They want it, they want it, they want it. And then they get all upset and frustrated because God doesn't give it to them. But you see, here's the thing. Before God will give you something that precious, God is going to test your heart. God is going to test your character. God is going to test you as a person. Because we're talking about something that all the money in the world cannot buy. He's not just going to give it. He's going to make sure that you deserve it. And you're going to have to prove yourself. You're going to have to walk a road with God. Now, I said to you last week that the fire of God is real. You know, just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it's not real. If you wonder whether the fire of God is real, many times when we pray, and even in these meetings, you've heard it, that the demons begin to scream that they are burning, they are burning. Why are they burning? Because it's one of the ways that God gets them out. You might not necessarily feel the fire, but the demon feels that fire and it mobilizes him. Can you sit still if I light a match under your backside? You're going to react, aren't you? Now, there's something in the kingdom of God that is exactly the same effect on demons as what the fire would have on us. Certain demons are stubborn. There's nothing you can do about that. Just like some people are more stubborn than others, some demons are more stubborn than others. For one demon, you need a small little match. For another one, you need a blowtorch. Because they have a bit more protection. There's a demon in the Bible called Leviathan. Some of you have maybe seen in the Bible that it speaks about him in the book of Psalm, Job 41. And I think it's Psalm 27 or somewhere around there. Psalm 57. Okay, I forget. But in any case, it speaks of this creature that is extremely well protected. And it actually says in the Bible, take him on your own peril. Because he is very well protected and even his belly is not soft. Now, there are certain spirits that just because of who they are and probably the way God made them back in the day, they seem to have a lot of protection. Are they impenetrable? No. But you know, the thing is, there is a big difference between cutting open your kitchen cupboard and cutting open a safe. Do you understand? For the kitchen cupboard, you need a grinder. For the safe, you need a blowtorch and you need a lot of time. Why? Because of the way it was constructed. Now, we need the fire of God if we are going to make a difference, especially when it comes to the work of the enemy. The fire is real. Now, let's just quickly look at some of the purposes of the fire. Psalm 97 verse 3 says, speaking of God, it says, a fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. This is very important. You know, sometimes God comes as water, but sometimes God comes as fire. The Holy Spirit is sometimes called the river of life. Jesus said, if you want more of, if you want the living water, ask me and drink from me and streams of living water will come gushing from your belly, referring to the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will fill us and begin to flow through us. Sometimes people need that living water. Sometimes people need their lives to be refreshed, to be renewed. Sometimes we need some cleansing. Sometimes we need some purifying and the water is important. But sometimes the water is going to make no difference to what's going on in that person's life. There's only one thing that's necessary. It's fire. Because one of God's enemies is working in that person's life and you won't destroy him with water. You can only destroy him with fire. And if you have no fire, you're praying in vain because nothing is going to change. That fire needs to move. Psalm 97 verse 3, a fire goes before God and consumes his foes on every side. Every enemy of God is also an enemy of you. How many of you in this place believe in God? How many of you in this place believe that you are a child of God? Now, therefore, God's enemies are also your enemies. And if they want to cause problems for God, the way to cause problems for God is through you. I've said to you before, you have children. Somebody wants to touch you, they must touch your children. Most of you have this attitude, you touch my kids, you touch me. You want to fight, you mess with my children, now we're going to fight. Well, the devil knows that. Look at your neighbor and say, you are precious to God. Well, I don't care if you don't feel precious to yourself, you are still precious to God. And therefore the enemy knows if he can give you sickness and infirmity and torment and pain and suffering and sadness and, you know, all sorts of problems, then it touches the heart of God. Unfortunately, most of us don't always realize what's going on in our lives, and therefore the way we try and deal with it might not necessarily be correct. If the problem is spiritual, then the solution has to be spiritual. Sometimes there's an enemy or a foe to conquer. Isaiah 66 verse 14 says, "See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He brings down his anger with fire. He brings down his fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and with sword, the Lord will execute judgment." How does the judgment of God get executed? Two things, the sword and the fire. What is the sword? The sword is the word of God. But I want you to notice something. If you have the sword but not the fire, there's no judgment. Because God uses a combination of the sword and the fire, and then there is judgment. What do I mean by that? Well, you can go to a lot of churches today where the word is going to go out without the fire. Because if the Holy Spirit is not there, if the fire component of God is not there, there's no power. Then it's simply the word. Oh, Rion, how does that work? I'll give it to you very simple. When the devil tried to tempt Jesus, he used the word. He said, "It is written," blah, 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 blah. Was there any power in what he said? No. It was used the wrong way. It was not anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, yet he used it. Now, that same thing happens many times. Is everybody that preaches called to be a preacher? Not necessarily. Will there be anointing on their words? Well, if you're not called and you're not anointed, there's no anointing on your words. So will judgment come in the lives of the people that sit there and listen? No. It is a very sad reality that we have people that sit in church 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. They never experience God. Nothing ever changes. It's the same old, same old. Sometimes I wonder why they keep going to church, because they've got nothing good to say. Nothing ever happens. They don't see the power of God. They don't experience change. There is no refreshing. There is no rejuvenating. There is no healing. There is no deliverance. To me, you're wasting your time. Does that mean that these things don't happen? Yes, it does. Where does it happen? Where the sword and the fire are released together. When the sword of God goes out through the word and the spirit of God, the fire is released with it, then judgment comes. Then wherever the enemy is busy in somebody's life, he's bound to get a hiding. And you know what I see many times? It is those type of places where the enemy tries to keep people away. You know, the devil's not stupid. We've had this discussion before. The devil is not stupid. There are some churches he has no problem if people go to that church. The type of church where the sword is released, but there's no fire, he has no problem sending people there. Because there will not be judgment. So what's he worried about going there? It's not going to bother him. He's got no problem with the word. He used the word himself. Don't you think just because you're sitting somewhere where the word is being preached, now the devil is stressed? The devil's not stressed about the word unless the word is sprinkled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Then it becomes a problem. So what does he do? Oh, you want to go to church? Don't go to that one, but please, by all means, go to that one. Go sit there. Your life is not going to change. Nothing is ever going to get any better. There will be no supernatural move of God, and I don't have to be stressed if you go there. Go there. Then we have some other churches where the power of God moves. People don't want to go there. Why not? Because the devil doesn't want them to go there. Because he doesn't want that fire to come. Because when judgment comes on the foes of God. Every spirit, every devil, every demon is going to get a hiding, and change will flow. Isaiah 4 verse 4 says, "The Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire." Oh my goodness, did you hear that? There is a spirit of judgment and there is a spirit of fire. If you want to be cleansed, You have to be where those two are, the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. The spirit of fire is simply a different title given to the Holy Spirit. In this case, he's there to bring judgment. How does he bring judgment? Through the fire. You know, we are in a season now where we see a lot of felt fires. You know, out there where I live, some of you know where I live. I live in the middle of nowhere. I live in Afrikaans, we call it put sonder water. I have a lot of rural agricultural land all around me. And you know, there seems to be this movement in South Africa. I don't always understand it, but you know, we've got some people out there, they cannot go to sleep at night if they haven't burnt everything. And they all seem to live in that area where I am. They're always setting fire to everything. Now, here's the thing. When that fire has moved through that place, do you know what's left? Nothing. Well, that's it, nothing. Because that's the thing with fire. Fire burns up everything. When the fire of God moves, it's kind of like similar. As the fire of God moves through this place, it's going to burn up the rubbish. Now, the thing with God's fire, it doesn't burn what belongs to God. Because God is fire. You know, fire doesn't hurt fire. It just hurts whatever can be consumed by fire. So what God put in you cannot be destroyed or hurt by the fire, because it has a component of God, and our God is a consuming fire. But what came from the enemy is going to be destroyed. You know, the rubbish, the filth, the dirt, let's name it. Let's just give it some names. The anger, the bitterness, the hatred, the sadness, the grief, the unforgiveness, the torment, the debt, the lack, the poverty, the sickness, the infirmity, the death, the decay, the destruction, the witchcraft, the sorcery. You name those things. What is it that the fire will consume? Listen to this. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. Did you hear what he says? What is the purpose of the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire? To cleanse. I want to ask you a question. Let's be honest with each other. How many of you believe, based on what I've just said, you still need quite a bit of cleansing? Who still battles with their temper? You need cleansing. Who still battles with doubt? You need cleansing. Who still battles with fear? You need cleansing. What is it that God's fire will do? It will cleanse you. Can you be cleansed without the fire? No, because the Bible says he will cleanse them by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. Now, the judgment is not for you. It's for the rubbish in you. You know, I don't care who you are. You did not grow up perfect. Some of you have been abused. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been disappointed. Some of you have done stupid things. And that defiles us. Sometimes we don't even look for it. Sometimes it's things that get forced on us. But it defiles us. When the fire of God begins to burn, it burns away the defilement of sin. The defilement of the enemy. Does everybody that gets cursed by witchcraft look for it? In fact, 99.9% of the time you didn't look for it, but some schmuck out there decided that you need to be taught a lesson, so they do something stupid. Does it happen? Oh yes, it does. What happens when the fire of God begins to burn? It burns that rubbish away. If you knew that whatever you got involved with was going to bring hideous demons into your life, would you still have done it? No, but most of the times we don't know. But the fire of God comes to cleanse us and to purify us. Why? Because when we are cleansed and purified, we become vessels of honor in God's kingdom. We become more and more useful for the kingdom of God. We see more and more change coming to people's lives as we have interaction with them. Now, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion, and he will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. In other words, there was a time when Jerusalem had to be cleansed. We know different. Jerusalem was simply made up of men and women that were defiled by the things that happened in the past. Some of them were defiled by worshiping false gods. Some of them were defiled by sexual immorality. Some of them were defiled by abuse and slander and gossip. The same problems that we have today have been in existence since the dawn of time. What was one of the first sins committed? Okay, the very first one was just simple disobedience, rebellion. Raise your hands if you have never rebelled. You can't. Because everybody rebels at some point in time. And the second was jealousy. Okay, the very first in the heavens was jealousy. But I'm talking about Cain and Abel. When they brought a sacrifice before God, Abel's sacrifice went up to God. Cain's did not, because Cain's attitude was wrong. And he was like, I'm upset. I'm angry. I have to do something. And what did he do? He murdered his brother. But what was the motive behind the murder? I'm jealous of you. How dare you have something that I don't have? Every one of us has been touched by that spirit at some point in time. Sometimes we're jealous of other people. Sometimes other people are jealous of us. But it's a devil. It's very powerful. And it's extremely destructive. What we need is the fire of God to burn and purify all of that rubbish. Two men start a business in the same town. It's a big town. There's plenty of business for both. In fact, if they work together, they can both become multimillionaires. The problem is one man has this attitude, if I can't have it, you can't have it. And every day he drives past the other man's business, and every day he curses that business. Will it have an effect on the first man? Of course it will. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Once again, what is the motive? The motive is jealousy. But what is the manifestation of the jealousy? That man, the second man, who probably has no issues with the first man, who probably lives a good and a godless and a godly and a righteous life, is going to find all sorts of problems happening. This machine is going to break. That machine is going to break. There's going to be problems with this contract. The workers are full of nonsense. This doesn't want to work. Problems, problems, problems. Calamity. Why? Because the enemy uses the words and the heart, the evil heart of the first man, to burn a false, ungodly fire against the second man. What must we do? We must trust God for the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire to move through that place and destroy the works of darkness. There's something that some people sometimes don't understand. The Bible says give the devil no place, but sometimes the devil gets place in our life not through what we do, but through what the people around us do. Let's talk about gossip. When you gossip about somebody, let me give you a stupid example. Manuela, why are you smiling? Probably you've battled under that thing for a lot of time. Okay, you're waiting to hear. Okay, Manuela, let's say at work you might not be very popular. Not because you're doing anything wrong. Maybe you're doing too many things right. You know what it's like. You do your job, you do it nice, you do it good. The boss says, well done. Somebody else is like, rrr. They don't do bugger all, but they wanted the boss to say that to them. It's like, now they go and they sit in the canteen and it's like, oh, you know that Manuela, she's always crawling up the boss's ass, you know? It's like, blah, 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 blah. She makes me sick. You know, I just wish that, blah, 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 this and this and this. What begins to happen to her? I'm just giving you a stupid example. Suddenly she begins to forget things. Now and then she gets all confused. She takes this paper that she knows must go there, and she goes and puts it there, and then later it's like, where's the paper? Oh, we threw it away. What?
Now you know
Manuela. Ah. But where does this come from? Gossip. Because what does the devil do? You know what? Most of you have never seen demons, but the way that they normally, they got big ears. Why? Because they're always listening. It's like radars. And the moment you begin to gossip about somebody, tweet, ding, 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 ding. And it's like, ah, is that so? Now, here's what you also have to understand. Whatever they're going to bring into her life because of what you're talking, it will bring some destruction into her life, but what you sow, you will reap. And I want to tell you something. There's going to come a time when you're going to pay big time for what you are releasing into that other person's life. You know, respectfully, a lot of the people that we pray for, where a lot of things happen, has got to do with what you did in your past. But I was getting to the point that the Bible does say give the devil no place, but it is not always us that gives the devil place. Sometimes it's the people around us, the way things are in our life that gives the devil place. Yet, when the devil has place, whether I have done it or somebody else has brought it into my life, you know, if somebody decides one day to do witchcraft against you, doesn't mean you've done anything. Sometimes jealousy is a motive. Sometimes bitterness is a motive from their side. Will the devil use it? Oh yes, you better believe he will. He doesn't miss out on any opportunities. We still have to do something about it. When we realize things are not right, we got to put our foot down and say no. And we got to fight back. Now, what do we need? The spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. God's enemies are dealt with his fire. Every one of us has a couple of enemies too. I'm not talking about your husband. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not even talking about your mother-in-law. Paolo. I'm simply talking about the devil. That thing working in your life, giving you a hard time. Without God's fire, you cannot destroy the enemy that comes against you. Look at your neighbor and say, man, I need a lot more fire. Oh yes, you need a lot more fire. The thing about demons, they're not afraid of you. They're afraid of God, specifically the fire of God. Now, I want to explain something to you. When it comes to the anointing. And this might sound a little bit weird to you, but just because you see the evidence of anointing, it does not mean that the person is actually anointed. Okay, I'm going to explain that to you. Anointing, the way God created it, the way it is in the kingdom of God, anointing flows. Okay? If you spend time with somebody that is anointed, some of the anointing in that person will flow into you. Or it will come upon you. Which is a great thing. Because the anointing is powerful, and if that anointing has come upon you, that power will begin to work with you. Now, this is where the problem lies. That type of anointing will not last. Because the only type of anointing that lasts is the anointing that comes from within you. You know, if I throw you in the water, you will get wet. When you come out for a while, you will be wet, and whatever you touch will be touched by that water. But unless the water comes from within, like Jesus said, it will not be replenished. It will wear out. So we need to move from a place where we now and then come under the anointing, get something, move forward, and then it dries up and we get stuck again, to the place where it comes from within us and it doesn't dissipate. It doesn't disappear. I'll give you an example. Jesus had 12 disciples. They were amazing men. God called them out of nowhere. God blessed them by allowing them to work with Jesus. And you know what? They came under Jesus' anointing. While they walked with Jesus, Jesus taught them many things. And you know what? Then he sent them out and he said to them, go and pray for the sick. Go and cast out demons. And you know, when they went out, they came back and they said, Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In other words, they had some anointing. Now, here's my question. Where did the anointing come from? Well, it wasn't their anointing. It was there because they spent time with Jesus. They came under his anointing. And that type of anointing does not last, because if they spend time away from Jesus for 3 months and they try and pray for somebody, then there'll be nothing. So they had to come from a place where they kept receiving it from him to a place where it came from within them. The Apostle Peter was one of those disciples. Now the thing with Peter, when Jesus was crucified, instead of him going out instead of him doing amazing and wonderful things, remember, he was the man that walked on water. Hello? Peter was an amazing man in his own right. Yet when Jesus was captured and crucified, he denounced Jesus 3 times. He allowed fear to control his life. He felt weak, hopeless, worthless, useless. He had no vision. He had no inspiration. He had no fire. In fact, he could do nothing. And when Jesus appeared to them, Jesus said to them, guys, listen carefully. Wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The same man that walked on water could do nothing until the fire and the power of God came upon him. Now, interesting. Acts 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with fire he went about doing good. Jesus only went out after the Holy Ghost came upon him in power and in fire. Do you know what happened in Peter's life? On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down with power and with fire, because Jesus said, you will receive power from on high. But when the power came, it came through fire. They saw tongues of fire that was burning on top of them. That day, for the first time, we meet the apostle Peter. Before he was a disciple, that day he became an apostle. Do you know why? Because that day, the power of God released something that was always inside of him, but not useful, to come out. That day, in front of roughly 3,000 Jews, he stood up and preached his first sermon. He never did that while he walked with Jesus. Yet he did it after he was empowered with the Holy Ghost and with fire, just like Jesus was. What happened to Jesus can happen to you and me. In fact, what happened to Jesus must happen to you and me if we want to make any kind of a difference. Your natural ability makes no difference in the spirit world. But your spiritual ability makes all the difference in the spirit world. People are spiritual beings. 99% of their problems are spiritual, not physical. And even though it looks physical, the roots are spiritual. Some people have nothing because they're cursed. If you take a cursed person and you keep giving him stuff, it's just going to disappear all the time because the curse makes it disappear. What must you do? Conquer the curse. But can you do it in the natural? You can't even see it. How do you know what to do? But when you walk into that place and the fire of God goes with you, things begin to happen. The curse is broken and the blessing of God is restored. It's the same when you pray for somebody for healing. You know, healing is an interesting topic. Everybody in this place needs some form of healing, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. Everybody needs some kind of healing. Now, the thing is, let's talk about physical healing. Physical healing is very necessary, but many times cannot manifest because the root cause of the infirmity or the sickness is spiritual. I've shown you many times. Let's just talk about it quickly. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says they brought Jesus, a demon-possessed man who was both blind and mute. He could not see and he could not speak. Now, why could he not see and why could he not speak? There was nothing wrong with his eyes. Yes, he couldn't. Yet he couldn't see. There was nothing wrong with his tongue or his vocal cords or his diaphragm or anything. Yet he could not speak. Why couldn't he speak? Because he had possibly one, possibly two, possibly plenty demons, only God knows, in his life that affected him that way. And when he encountered Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus healed him. But how did the healing take place? The man had to be delivered. How do we know that the man was delivered? Because immediately the Pharisees said, hey, wait a minute. The only reason this guy cast out demons is because he worked with Beelzebub. We know Jesus cast out the demons. The Pharisees tell us. How many people today in this world have the same problem that man had? They got a physical infirmity caused by a spiritual problem, and until they don't get delivered from the spiritual problem, the physical infirmity will not disappear. There's a lot of people that take medical treatment for something that has spiritual roots. You will pop pills for the rest of your life, you will never get healed, because the spiritual root has to be pulled out. Can you do it? No. God does it. How does He do it? Through the anointing. Who does He use? He uses us. Who were the people that God healed when Jesus walked the earth? It was only the people that went to Him and received ministry. Today, it's the same thing. Who are the people that are going to get healed? People that will go somewhere where the anointing is and receive that anointing and be healed. You know, many times, it's just the way people are, but many times people have this problem coming to church to be prayed for. The other day, my secretary was telling me that we've got somebody that they don't even live far from here. I think it's in Boxburg. Oh, no, they can't come here. It's too far. The pastor must come to my house. Why? You know, the people that Jesus healed was the people that came to Him. Do you know when Jesus went to heal somebody? In fact, He didn't actually go there to heal. He went there to bring them back to life. Is when the little girl was dead. He went to their house. He did not go to the other people's houses. You think Jesus would get far in life if all He did was go from house to house to house to house? No, that wasn't His call. And sometimes I believe God tests the hearts of people. You know, here's the thing. Jesus said, if you want it, be thirsty. You know, some people are not very thirsty for healing, because I want to tell you something. If you're thirsty for healing, you'll do whatever it takes. You don't care what it costs you. You will make a plan. But when you come and you make a demand, oh, the pastor must come and see me, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to go far. I'm sorry. Your attitude is wrong. The Holy Spirit is not even going to work in your life. That doesn't mean that we don't sometimes go and pray for people. It's just, this is what I see in people. Some people get healed very quickly. You know, can I use you as an example? All right. Yes, Anna. Anna, stand up quickly. Show your pearly whites to all the people. There we go. There we go. Anna came here in February, was it?
Yeah.
Anna came here in February. What did you weigh when you came here in February? You weighed 29 kilograms. She was skin and bone and whatever alone, you know. But can I tell you something about her? She was as sick as a dog. She had one foot in the grave. She was barely alive. She came here and she said, pray for me. And do you know what happened that day? She got stuck on this floor for 5 hours. She could not move. The fire of God burned in her. She went back home and all the poison came out of her body. And today you healed. Amen. Ah, give the Lord a big hand. Two things contributed to her healing. The fact that God is merciful, number one. And healing is available. I put that with God's mercy. But the fact that she made an effort.
She's got a good friend.
Well, that's true. Amen. Then we have... And you opened your heart. Yes. Okay, we could talk about that for a long time. But let's stick to the fact that she, even though she was so sick, said, I don't care. I'm going to make a plan. God saw that. I want to ask you a question. How can God not bless that? He will. Then you have people that there's hardly anything wrong with them. It's like, why must I go to your church if you could come to my house? That's why you're not getting healed. Your attitude is wrong. And I want to say something about Christian people. An Afrikaans noemer said, yes, baie gemakkelijk. I'm not exactly sure how to... Ed, how would I say that in English? They're very comfortable. They're very complacent. They're like very, you know what, because I'm a Christian and this man works for God, he must make a plan and he must come out. Why? Jesus didn't do that. Why you want that to happen like that? You know, God tests us. And I want to tell you, many people fail God's tests all the time because of their attitudes. Yeah. Yes. Come here quickly. Come here quickly. Some of the people here came into this meetings after your father. Tell them a bit about your father, what happened in his life, how bad his situation was, and what God did for him.
Hi, guys. Okay, my dad,
He was a bit of a rough guy. He lived in the world, and how can I say? He only used to go to church. We were Greek Orthodox for Easter, and that was it. And, you know, he lived a very rough life. He was always fighting every day of his life. He thought to fight was to look after us, you know. So anyone would look at him, he'd box, he'd even fight anybody. And that's how he lived his life, every day of his life. Well, we had a hard life. My mom had a very difficult time because he was a very hard man. And then he had a major car accident, and he was 18, 19 weeks in ICU. Look, he was a big bodybuilder, and because of his physique, that's what basically, well, it was the grace of God, but what got him through that. And then we decided, I got part of this ministry, and in this ministry we started coming to Springs, to Gedult. And then my dad came. He was frail. He was in nappies because he had a lot of, what was it, strokes and everything. So he was very frail and very sick. He had to wear permanently nappies. My mother had to look at him, after him 24 hours a day. But he started coming to this ministry, and he got healed. Well, he got saved. And as he got saved that day, from that day onwards, he came every single Sunday. He didn't miss one Sunday. In the middle of winter, the car used to come out at 12 o'clock. The ice was on the window, but he was there. He was the first one to sit in the front, and he would go home, even if his nappy was wet, and everything, because he had a love for God. He even used to participate in Leon's sermons. I've seen him raise his hands, and I was blown away. I looked at things like this, and I said to myself, he's just my dad. I can't believe it. and he loved it when the demons were manifesting that. For him, it was something amazing. And you know what? For God to touch him, to have a love, and that for Christ, to me, was the biggest miracle I've ever still seen in my life today. Amen. And that is what and thanks to Warriors for Christ and to Rian and Fatima, you guys walked the road with him for many years. And yes, you know what? It's
God gave enough time to your dad to make peace with everybody.
And he did make peace with everybody. And you know what? When God spoke, he said, he gave me a time. He said it might be a month, 2 months, or even 6 months. But he's made right, and he's coming home to me. And if you follow your ways, where you're following me now, one day you can still catch up with your dad, all the times you have messed up on. Amen. And you know what? 2-3 days before 6 months, my dad passed away. He just said, prepare, you're going to have a lot of time, you're going to laugh and that. And in that last 6 months, we laughed a lot. We did prepare, and it was something amazing. It was something that only God can do, no one else can do. Because he was the hardest man. Even with the Greek Orthodox Church, he wanted to hit the priest in the church. I'm serious. He was a very hard man for something that he thought the priest did something to him. So this was my father. So I just wanted to say that. Wow. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I remember when we did his funeral, there was a whole bunch of the very staunch Greek Orthodox sitting there, and they all just shook their head. They could not believe how Georgie's father changed in the last, let's say, year and a half of his life. Point in fact, he was sick. He was sickly. He battled. He had no control over himself, but he came to church. You know what? God brought an enormous amount of healing into his life because he was willing to go. Amen. All right. Ed, what's the time now? How long have I been going? Okay. So the Apostle Peter was one of the very first disciples, and his ministry only really started after he received the Holy Ghost, after he received the fire. That day he became an apostle. That day the gifts in him was released by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Apostle Peter is the only man that we read of in the Bible where it says that when he walked down the street and his shadow fell on people, the people were healed. Why did that happen? Because there was so much anointing and so much power on him. The world is full of people that are gifted by God. Yet the world is also full of people that can't do nothing for God. The same people that are gifted by God to do amazing things will never do nothing for God until they come to a place that they too, like Peter, receive the anointing, receive the fire, receive the power. If the question would be asked, is it still available today? The answer is irrevocably yes. God hasn't changed his mind. The church has changed its mind. To the church today, God doesn't heal anymore. To the church today, demons don't exist anymore. Why? Because then somebody actually has to make a plan and deal with it. And generally, that seems to be very bothersome. No, God hasn't changed his mind. In fact, the Bible says, for God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That means what Jesus did can still be done. Yet Jesus made the following statement. He said, when I return, will I still find faith? I don't know. I know there's faith here. But in the Christian community at large, how much faith is there really? I can't say. Sometimes I really get worried because it just looks like Christians don't have faith anymore. They got problems, they go to the secular world to fix their problems instead of going to God. Or even worse, they go to the opposite side of the spirit world to fix their problems. Do you know how many Christians we've had to pray for that go to witch doctors? Why? For goodness sakes, why? My father is, yeah, he can confirm. Many years ago, me and him, we did a seminar. And it was for pastors. It was up in Toyando, right there by the border with Botswana. And one thing that I will never forget. I spoke one night on curses. How God helps us to be delivered from curses. And that night we saw so many pastors begin to manifest under the power of witchcraft. And you know, when we spoke to some of them later, they actually acknowledged that they used to send their parishioners to the witch doctor when they thought that they had spiritual problems. Because they did not understand that the power of God was still available to deal with it, which is mind-blowing and ridiculous at the same time, yet true and sad. The fact is, we don't have to do stupid things like that. We have the solution. We have the answer. Like she said, we have to open our hearts. We have to understand that what is in this Bible is not just for way back when. Is for us today. And if Peter needed it, and Paul needed it, and James needed it, and John needed it, well, you need it too. You could be the next Peter. You won't know until you don't receive the fire. Because without the fire, you don't know what's inside, because the fire releases what's inside to come out.
Yes. You hear the voice of God talking to you, must be obedient.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for me, my obedience, this many will not be here today.
I remember.
I didn't know what God
All right, said. Come and share what happened that day. It's fine.
Sometimes God speaks to us about to go and pray for people. When you hear the voice of God, we have to be obedient because God can use any one of us. Many years ago, it was his sister, Victor's sister, phoned me at 6 o'clock in the morning, a Sunday morning, to ask me to please pray for his family, for the whole family, because the hospital, he was on ICU for a couple of weeks already and he was dying. And she says to me, Fatima, please pray for my family. The doctors are calling us. They're going to switch off the machines on my brother. And you know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning and I thought, okay, I will pray. I'll pray later. But I was actually disobedient because I want to sleep. And then I heard this voice inside of me says, get up. And I turned around on the other side and the voice said to me, get up. And I thought, And for the third time, the voice said to me, get up. Then I got up. And then I heard this voice saying to me, get ready. You're going to the hospital. And then I was talking to myself, why must I go into the hospital? They're not even my family. And then the voice said to me, get ready. And then I start to, I actually phoned his sister. I said, listen, I don't know what's going on. I hear this voice talking to me, say, I must get ready. I must get up. Please come and fetch me. She says, okay, I'm going to do a U-turn. I'm fetching you. I went with her to the hospital. The whole family was there because they were there to, they're going to switch off the machines on this man. And guess what? I didn't know what I was going to do there. But on my way there, I start feel something happen in my hands and something happen in my stomach. I went up to the ward that he was. I say to her, I'd love to go and pray. I start feeling something on my hand and I knew it. God put something on my head. But I didn't know. I had no idea of what it was. I went inside of the ICU and I'll never forget this. It was a lot of machines on him. It was two nurses. And apparently it was two by two of the family to say goodbye. And the power of God came over me. I had no idea of what God was going to do there. But I remember that I laid my hands on him and the power that he was in me came through my hands into this man's body. I don't know if he felt anything because he was in coma. I don't know if he felt anything. But the fact is that from that day, what is supposed to be a goodbye, this man today is sitting here today. You know what? You have to be obedient. I'll never forget what happened. I start feel blood in my mouth, and I thought, I say to his sister, I'm not feeling good, but I feel blood in my mouth. She took me to the bathroom, and I'm actually, you can ask to his sister, because she comes on Tuesdays. Two blocks of live blood came out of my mouth. Actually was stuck on his lungs. How you explain that? I don't know. The fact is what God said that he was, and then the Lord revealed to me that I must tell them that they must tell the doctors they must take him for a scan because he was something on his lungs. And he was. Today he's alive because I was obedient. Okay, first I rebel, but God says get up. I was obedient, yeah.
Amen. All right. Okay, I'm going to finish for now. Let's just sum up and say that. What?
Now, I have to say this, and I'll tell you why I have to say this. A lot of people, they say that I am from the devil, that what comes from me is from the devil. Then I don't understand. If devil heals people like healed this man, I have no words then. I don't know what to say. Everybody says they must be careful with me because I'm an evil person.
All right, give me that. Auntie, you must take it where it comes from.
How that is explained.
I understand. But I want to say something to you. I don't want you to get all upset about what people say. It's not what some say, it's what he says that counts. Amen. Amen. I have been called a Satanist. I have been called a witch doctor. I have been called a fake. Well, you know what? I'm still going and God still uses me. So what? Amen. People will eat their words. And you know what? People that talk in ignorance. But the Bible says one day you will stand before God and give an account of every idle word that you speak. And maybe just this is a good time to bring this up again. There is only one sin that will not be forgiven man. And it is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, it doesn't always make sense. He's spiritual, and spiritual things cannot be explained in the natural. But if your explanation is that is the devil, but it's the Holy Spirit working, you are in a very, very, very bad place with God. And some people have cursed their lives by saying stuff like that. So my advice to you is this. If you do not understand, ask questions. But don't just talk for the sake of talking, because it brings problems into people's lives. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible makes it very clear the devil does not cast out the devil. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Did anybody learn something today?
Yes.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. right, can you all stretch out your hands, please, towards this offering? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this time. And we thank you for this offering that is coming to the kingdom of God. I ask you to bless everyone that is given with a cheerful heart. And I thank you, Lord, that there will be an appropriate harvest released into their life because of their obedience in giving. And in accordance with your word, Lord, as Jesus said, the harvest will be sometimes 30, sometimes 60, even 100-fold. I thank you that they receive it, and I bless them with it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to take a 10-15 minute break quickly to get everything ready. My father has something that he came to share with us, something that God has he experienced with God. I want to invite you to stay to just hear what he has to say. We're going to be getting together, yeah, let's say in 15 minutes time. Then we will start again, and then we're going to pray for people. Okay.